welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, weekly FGC talk show, podcast, broadcast, stream, podcast?
I think those all apply.
Those all apply. Brought to you by all these gentlemen here in this room and some on the internet. We have John Velociraptor.
And Twitch. Still Twitch.
Yeah, shouts to Twitch. You see their logo there on the bottom right. What are you sipping on right now, John?
Coffee? Vodka. No, it's just black coffee. Black coffee.
Wow, I like how you specified it.
Well, that's the way God intended.
We all know exactly how hardcore John is now, so that's good.
He just it's just straight coffee grounds in there that he just ground, eating them straight. Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jerk, where are you today, pal? Looks like a lovely sunset behind you.
I am in the Infinite Azure.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right. I've got no walls to contain me, so I'm good to go.
Well, that was actually a big thing for me in Tekken, right? Is I practiced on all the stages that were infinite, and then the first time I played a match with a wall, I was like, this is way too fucking hard for me. Like, none of this.
People are curious as to why Steve's a normal color this week. That does not give you license, Alon, to start going wackadoo and making them all different colors, all right? We had enough of that last year.
You can mess with my colors if you want. I don't care.
Hey, shout-outs to Unsung Hero.
And Magnegro, a friend of the show who subbed right before the show started.
Yep, let me get some claps going. Let's go with this right here. Good old doggy.
The worst thing about Magnegro is that he plays Dalsim. He shouldn't do that.
Tonight on the show, thank you for joining us. If we have any people who are not familiar with the show because they're interested in hearing about what Jabela will say about all his wrestling events he's got going on with Kenny
Omega.
The
best thing is that he's a good guy, by the way. I can't only say something about him.
Thank you for that. That was still on Magnegro. We're talking about Jabela now.
Okay.
Tonight on the show, he's our guest. He's going to tell us about the New Japan Pro Wrestling event that he's got going on, and we're excited to talk to him. Steve will stay on for that interview because he's our resident wrestling fan and knowledge base. And I don't think anybody else has the chops to hang. But we'll also be talking about, we have one point that we want to make about the CPT point structure.
It's your first funny joke ever, Efren.
Thank you. I'll take it. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about all kinds of other things, including a long-ass recap, quote to quote Steve. So why don't we go ahead and get started there?
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's start with the thing that everyone is talking about. It was the highlight of the weekend for everyone in the FGC, and that was episode 2 of E-League The Challenger. I didn't mind this one so much. It started with an immunity challenge, which was essentially a round robin. The catch was that you got to pick one opponent for whom you could pick their character. So you got to essentially nerf one opponent one time. Guilty won that. With a little bit of collusion, allegedly, which was sort of the crux of the episode.
So who got picked the most? Was it JB? I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, JB was, I think he got hit 3 times. He had to use Zangief for one. but, I mean, it was as close to, like, some straight-up Street Fighter as you'd get, much more so than the first episode. But anyway, Guilty won. Guilty selected JB to go into the elimination match. JB selected Sherry as his opponent, and he won that 5-1.
Dang.
So Sherry is out of the running.
John, I believe, has a question.
Not that I care, but...
I like how you got to put that qualifier in.
Yeah, not that I care, but does the person that gets put in the elimination chamber always get to pick their opponent?
As of now, yes, there's only been 2 episodes and there's only 2 more. So it could change, but I don't know.
That's stupid. I think you should just throw 2 people in at random and then, because otherwise, like, they're always going to pick who they who cares? I don't care. Go ahead.
I think what was interesting to me is, like, this episode focused more on, like, the strategy of playing the game, not the Street Fighter, but the reality show game. Which could be interesting. You see that in other shows, you know. You see that in Survivor, Big Brother, whatnot. But because there's only 5 episodes, there's really not a whole lot of time for that part of the game to develop.
Or character development, or for me to care.
And because there's, you know, it all comes down to head-to-head competition, there's not really a huge incentive for that strategy to play out. Because essentially you're going to get in a position where the better player is going to win no matter what. So it's it is what it is.
You don't care. You didn't care when he was a kid. You don't care now. You just don't care?
That's his loss.
And if you type in, if you're a sub and you type in BOV what with a capital W U T, you'll get that face in the chat.
You know, it's a lot easier to just tell people that you can just hit the button and then hit the other button and then it does that.
I didn't actually know you could do that. Out. Thank you for educating me. Guys, I have a confession to make. I stopped watching E-League the Challenger after the first episode.
What?
I even recorded it. I got them shits TiVo'd and I still didn't watch it. Did I miss out?
You're missing out on something.
Well, you're not supporting the FGC, you
ass. I know, dude. I'm a little piece of shit.
Well, we've got like... I guess after one more episode, everyone left in will have at least a slight ability to play the game. So, there we go.
We're right. That's a hot take right there. All right, are we moving on or are we staying on this E-League the Challenger graphic?
Let's move on to some more traditional tournaments, I guess. The finals of the Gfinity Elite Series took place on Saturday, and it was Team Nordavind who took it home, riding the strength of their two big stars, Phenom and Momi. They went a combined 21-2 this season, so very strong anchors for that squad. Congratulations to them. Tough break for Fnatic, especially for Zera and Akainu, who for the second season in a row end up one win short of being champion. But they have confirmed that there will be a fourth season, dates to be announced later. But so if you didn't get a chance to watch, you know, it was some pretty entertaining Street Fighter.
Is there any like info on how well this is doing? I mean, I just wonder, like, it sounds really cool. Obviously, I know a lot of people haven't been watching it because of the whole Facebook exclusivity stuff like that. So, I mean, it's interesting to hear that they're getting a fourth season, and I think it's a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was at about 1,000 viewers for the final. Might have been a little higher at other points, you know. But it's interesting. A lot of the fighting game community is not really focused on Facebook as a platform. You know, it's either Twitch or it's nothing. So I don't know how involved Facebook is with the development of Gfinity. We know that they've been pushing more exclusive content on their platform, various shows. So I don't know if this is part of that deal, part of that push, or if there's something else going on. But it'll be interesting to see if they maintain that exclusivity for season 4.
John, what do you think about that?
I wasn't paying attention.
God, you're a little bitch. John, don't make me come over there.
My roommates are out of town. We could hang out, sleep over, everything. We could make a pillow fort. What's next on the recap?
Can we talk about girls?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't want to talk about girls.
I didn't think you did, but I mean, it's whatever.
I
mean,
I just want the option.
So moving on to the next event being recapped.
Yeah, let's take a look at Red Bull Conquest. This series just kicked off this weekend with the event in Chicago. You had three tournaments there, Street Fighter, Guilty Gear, and Tekken. The winner of each of those events will form a team for the national finals in November in Washington, D.C. And Chicago is going to be represented in Street Fighter by Cool Kid, in Tekken by Shadow, and in Guilty Gear by Mr. K, who made it very clear in his post-match interview that he was representing St. Louis, not Chicago. But he's on team.
Take that, Mike.
Damn. I'm hurt.
You ought to be.
Should be.
Yeah.
So the next event in that series will be on May 19th in Seattle.
Oh, neat. Next?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to make a small – you know, you wonder, and I'm not trying to put down Guilty Gear or anything. You wonder that the fact that it's not Dragon Ball Z, is that because it was too late to get in on the talks? Is it because Dragon Ball Z is snatched by someone else as far as exclusivity as part of a thing like something like this? It really does seem, I think, from an outside perspective, like the tour and like it would have been a little more interesting with that game in there as what is very blatantly the second most popular game currently as far as tournament entrants go.
But I feel like Red Bull of any kind of outside organization would be the ones to be able to pull that shit off, right?
If they want Dragon Ball, I'm kind of surprised that it's not in there.
It's also possible that there might be issues with the license, because with Street Fighter, you're just dealing with Capcom. With Tekken, you're much just dealing with Bamco. But when you throw Toei in there as well as Arxis and Bamco, things might be a little more complicated to pull off.
I don't know. All right, what we got next, Doug?
Let's go to New York for Super TSB. This was a... had a few games going, but the big one there was the Dragon Ball FighterZ tournament. It served as the final qualifier or opt-in event for Summit of Power. So those who made top 16 were able to get their name into the hat, and we'll talk about that a little later. But big thing is, to kill Sage, taking it over Sonic Fox in the grand final. You know, that
his first ever tournament loss to a non-Goichi player.
I was going to ask if that was his first ever tournament loss to a non-Goichi player,
How many Goichi players out there are there?
Just the there's one. At least Ichi. Five, you know.
There's only Ichi?
I got a pocket Goichi.
Look at these names on this list, though. This is a legit tournament. Go back to please. Nakiel, Super Noon. I'm going to turn it back to Steve because that's his job. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No, go for it. Go for it.
I'm just excited because, like, the Dragon Ball FighterZ is, like, you know, emerging. It's hit its stride now, and we're starting to see, like, the best players, the expected winners, not from all over the entire world, but even just from America. It's no longer just Sonic, Fox, and Goichi. They're on their own levels and Goichi farther. But these guys – go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. Sonic Fox did lose one set to Chris G. He then beat him finals, but he did lose a winner's final set to Chris G. So,
absolutely. But yeah, these names, Nakiel, Super Noon, Hook Gang God, DeKill Sage, and the fact that Fox is not getting first, like, even I'm not a player of this game, but I'm hyped just looking at these results. I'm like, that's exciting. Who knows what's going to happen next? I'm looking forward to the next one.
And currently, DeKill Sage is dominating the nominations phase of the summit vote-in. So it seems pretty likely that he'll make it in there with this win.
Yeah. So,
who are you voting for, Mike?
I think I'm not going to vote.
You son of a bitch! What's wrong with America? All right.
The other thing to point out, if you look at the names in red, those are the ones who became eligible to opt in for nominations with their performance. So the big name, Lord Knight, a guy who a lot of people wanted to support, a lot of people thought wouldn't get in, he got in. So if you want to see the man do it at Summit of Power, you have your chance now.
All right. Moving on.
Let's go to the wonderful world of online. CPT kicked off the North American leg of the online events with their first West Coast tournament, and that was won by the man formerly known as Flash Metroid. Flash taking it over Toy in the grand final to pick up his first ever CPT win. He came close last year in one of the Latin American events. I believe it was True Challengers, where he made it to grand finals but fell short. But
hey, Steve, what character did Flash use to win the Capcom Pro Tour online tournament?
I don't know. Which character did Flash use to win the online Capcom Pro Tour?
I think it was Abigail. He used Colleen. That character got nerfed. Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
The whole time?
I think he used a couple characters, but I mean, he beat Toy with Colleen.
In grand finals?
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch it. We have a back and forth here where one of Dream King plays loves Abigail and my other boss Catalyst hates him, and they were just giving each other so much shit back and forth because an Abigail player won a CPT tournament, but he didn't even win. That's hilarious. Oh, never mind. That's cool that he wouldn't play Colleen though. She's on the up and up.
Fucking John.
Remember, we're still giving away a season pass if an Abigail makes top 8 at a premiere.
Does the online count? The online tournaments count?
No, it has to be a premiere.
It's got to be a premiere.
Okay, right. Okay, what else can you glean from this? Shout out to Toy, by the way.
And to Tommy, who's from Austin.
Oh, right on. And then we got Alex Myers, Commander Jess.
Now, notably, Alex Myers did disconnect in winners. So he only lost once in losers finals. Damn. So, an online tournament through and through.
How is JB on Challengers and on CPT Online?
Challengers was filmed.
Earlier. Yeah, no, that was a joke.
All right. This, I don't know if we were planning on talking about this later, but this did tie. A lot of people were talking about ranking events and how many points they should offer. I saw some Twitter polls from top players about how many points they should be, stuff like that. So
specifically for online ones?
Yeah, I think especially with Alex's disconnect and, you know, like with the West Coast tournament, how far apart you could be while playing and how laggy apparently some of these matches were. There was a lot of people talking about whether or not these should be worth as much of a ranking event. My view on it is that they're both worth so little, how do you even care? But
I mean, John doesn't care.
Nope. I'd make ranking events worth more before I made these worth less.
I just think that, you know, the reason people want to see ranking or online events go down in points is because of the perceived difference in quality between what play you can do. If you look at a game like KI, that had an online component to its pro tour, and that online was incredibly good. You look at the online tournaments, and it was almost like premier level events every week. You had all of the killers coming out, grinding, playing well, and having high quality matches, both in terms of the gameplay and the connectivity. So I do think there's a lot of merit in having online events be valuable. It's just that the quality of online connectivity in this game isn't quite at that level. So how do you deal with that? Do you penalize the people who can only go to online events just because, well, it's not, you know, it's not offline? You can't make it off to offline, screw you. You know, how do you deal with that?
I don't know. With the amount of the Bluetooth device connection controller, like match interruptions that I've seen in like the last 2 years since we've been playing on PS4, I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Honestly, online. The PS4 has been so problematic as far as offline events. We've seen a lot of problems there too. I honestly wish there were more of these that were less broad in scope of how far apart the players were. Maybe like a south event and a west event. Just like the reason you get this lag is a lot because, I mean, I don't remember the exact range, but I mean, people in Latin America are playing versus people in Washington, you know, and it just like the connections aren't good, and it doesn't matter how good both of their internet is. It's just that the game's netcode and the connections, you know, physically aren't good enough to handle it. And so I don't know. It seemed like a pretty legit event, though, and I hope that they keep doing them even if there are problems, because a lot of people can't go to offline events that easily.
What's next on your recap, Steve?
Let's go to the offline CPT event this weekend. Game Over in Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. And that was won by the man that is John's favorite player. He's got his poster on the wall. Cygames beast Chris Tatarian taking it over Kaba in the grand finals. So even with Kaba having a home field advantage, Chris T was able to take it. You see Berlino third, Hochi again top four. Justin and K-Brad, 1 point each for top eight.
Boop, 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 boop. Wah.
Now, are they going to emergency patch Ken the nerfs he deserves now that this happened? I'm hoping they're out by at least Texas Showdown this weekend, or it would be ridiculous. Like Ken might make it out of pools.
May I offer a retort to Steve's very cold and unflattering words from earlier?
Retort Chris away. And I,
Chris and I, we definitely go around, but we're also friends, and I am happy for Chris. One, that it's hilarious that he went and won a major with Ken, because now he has to kind of eat his words, which is great. But, like, people were starting to call him, you know, like, the water boy, for Daigo's water boy, right? Bringing the Red Bull to him at NCR and such. And it's perfect, because he's this young dude, and the fanboy is the hilarious kind of thing for him. But, like, he was kind of in danger of, like, slipping into that. And then for him to win, to go to the Capcom Cup reigning champion's home turf, with all the killers and the, in Mena's words, the guile that's better than Daigo, the best guile in the world. And for him to beat all those guys, that's a really good look. You know, not only gets Capcom Pro Tour points and such, but for his sponsor. So hats off to Chris. He did an awesome job with like the worst character in the whole game this weekend, and I got to give credit where credit's due.
It was impressive to me though. He went down 0-2 in the first set of Grand Finals, and that is definitely a bad matchup. And he brought it back, and he was pretty stoic the whole time, honestly. It didn't look like he was letting anything get to him, and he ran it back. And he used V-Trigger 2-Ken, something that no one thought was going to win any tournaments this year. So good on Chris. His play was really good.
I didn't see him actually use V-Trigger 2 at all, and I watched most of the Grand Finals.
I will be honest.
I was back and forth.
Analysis on it is that V-Trigger 2 did not really help him win. I think V-Trigger 1 probably would have been just as good or better. But, I mean... we actually showed this up on a show a while ago. V-Trigger 2 does let Ken read some of the fireballs and go through them, which is something that V-Trigger 1 can't do. So I think that's why.
Okay. So I was gonna, yeah, because that was my next question. But thanks for answering it. You're good at your job.
I'm trying to get a screen capture of the screen. Steve, did you get us an overall rankings, or do you want me to pull that up?
Let's take a look at where the global standings stand as of now. You see Tokido still on that number one spot, but Chris T now moving into that tie for 10th. I do want to make a correction from last week. My document, for some reason, deleted the results from Brussels Challenge.
Oh, no.
So that's why Luffy was not on there. So apologies for that. That is correct. And now Luffy taking his rightful spot among the top 20 in the Pro Tour standings. Please forgive me.
Steve, I want to point out right now, since we're on the screen, this whole thing, your images are beautiful. It's like there's a lot of information on that, and I can read all of it and pretty quickly, too. So you're a badass. Thanks, Steve.
It's just kind of crazy looking at that, because, I mean, you have two people who are basically already qualified points-wise, Tokido and Infiltration, if we're going by last year, and then you have Mena is automatically qualified. But, you know, Knuckle Dude, Daigo through Fujimura are only about halfway there, and then most of the rest of the people have only barely made a dent. So, I mean, there's a ton left to go. And obviously there's a lot of tournaments left to go too. But, yeah, I mean, no one's really qualified except for, you know, Tokido and Infil and Mena.
Yeah, it's going to come down to how much gatekeeping that those guys do. You know, if Tokido and Infiltration go to all the premieres and, you know, they make grand finals at 80% of them, that's going to kill a lot of points, essentially, and that's going to drive the cutoff mark down. You know, if they decide to take some time off or maybe use some characters that they aren't as familiar with to try and gain some knowledge, that opens the door for some more players, and that raises the cutoff lineup. So that'll be an interesting story to follow the rest of the season.
All right, where are you taking us next, Steve?
Let's go to Seoul, South Korea for Korea Masters. This was the master event on the Tekken World Tour this weekend. And it's a familiar name up top, but one we haven't seen in a while, JDCR. You know, he's gotten close all this, you know, at pretty much every event he had entered, but he got second, third, and fourth. Had not won until this past weekend, which is a little change of pace. He won 8 events last year. He was basically walking away with everything. So we once again have a different winner at each event so far, which has been a really interesting trend. And you take a look at some of these other names in top 16. This was killers all over the place. You had Kodans outside of top 8. You had Crazy Dongpal making top 16. You had a couple of strong U.S. players, Speed Kicks, Peeling, Way Gamble. None of them made it out of their pools. You had Help Me, a guy who's made the global finals before. He didn't make it out of pools. Kakoma, who would basically finish, or excuse me, John Ding, who had done well at every tournament he had entered. He didn't make it out of pools. The amount of talent there in Korea is just ridiculous. So, and we had a panda in top 8. and he eliminated Saint.
Wow. Don't see that all the time. I mean, people need to remember that in Korea, you know, Tekken is way more popular than Street Fighter and has been for a very long time. So no surprise there.
All right, you want to check out the standings?
Yeah, let's take a look at how those global standings look. JDCR, that is actually 635, not 1635. That is a typo. Apologies for that. But he is now in the lead. You see Asia dominating the standings. We've had more Asian events than anywhere else right now. But you've got Texas Showdown coming up. So a chance for some American players to move their way into the top rankings, or, you know, in the case of Anakin or Joey Fury, get even higher on the board.
I take back my compliment on your images, by the way.
That's the correct call.
is the expectation that they'll put Soul Calibur into the Tekken World Tour and make it like a Bamco World Tour?
It would be, you know.
What does that look mean, John?
That was a silly thing that they should never do. That doesn't make any sense. They're going to do that with Dragon Ball because they're Bandai too?
That would be the one that makes more sense to me. You know, if they were going to do it, they would have added it right away.
I'm real disappointed in you right now, John.
It's just like, you're like, hey, I'm trying to host a show. Hey, here's maybe an idea to talk about. Just shoot that down. Go on. I'm sorry.
So anyway, Falk really sucks.
Almost universally.
You know, like I was watching Shen's stream.
She's trash.
And he was like really trying to make her work. He was not happy. He didn't think that he could make that work. I see Vesper Arcade's title of his YouTube video, "The Worst Designed Street Fighter V Character to Date." Looks like all her buttons suck. She has no pressure. Within
hours of each other, Infiltration and Shein both had like clipped videos of their stream just talking about how bad they thought she was.
Yeah.
And not just like, oh, I think she's not like, she's hard or she's not that good right now. Like, no potential, garbage, like badly designed. Infiltration saved his worst tweets for Korean, which my friend translated for me, where he was just like, I can't believe I waited for this character. Who designed them? Like, fire them, you know? Like,
wow.
People were really upset with how they're, I mean, and obviously it's a little early to be like, I'm sure of how bad Falk is, but I mean, it seems like she is not good.
I mean, I agree. Like, things aren't looking good for her, right? But there's also, the thing I'm wary of is that, like, as soon as a video or an article or anything goes up on the internet, right, that people can comment on or have opinions on, the very first comment so very often will set the tone for everyone else. Sure. And unless another comment comes up very quickly that has, like, more charisma and is to, like, the alternate, then that's going to be the snowball effect. And it's like, Falk was, no, everyone was like, that's cool, she looks fine. And then the trailer dropped. And she had a kind of a wonky looking critical art, and people started focusing on that. And it's like, there's no question that some of these things are weird. Her starter step looks odd. Her hitboxes are weird a little bit, but it's like, I'm just afraid that we had one negative comment and we just snowballed into, this is the absolute worst.
You think that the reaction to the trailer has informed people's educated opinions after streaming them and putting them in the lab and working really hard? And these are top level guys that are trying to break this character apart?
I'm not saying that they're wrong, and it might be that Falk is that bad. I'm just, it's so damn early that it's weird that people would have this intense of an opinion so quickly. And they do it every time a new character comes out. And it's usually, this character is trash. And it's usually because, well, they're not good with them yet. And everybody else is playing their character that they've been playing for forever. So, of course, it's going to feel like they're bad. And people don't want to admit, like, oh, it's my fault because I don't know yet. It's the character's fault. Is that Infiltration and Shen? No. Two big, big names right there giving you pretty strong opinions. I have to acknowledge that. But I'm also like, come on, like, let's give it a little while before we pass judgment.
I agree with John, though, that I do think that the trailer and the animations did affect people's, like, how fast they're willing to jump off the train. Like, if she doesn't seem good on a gameplay level instantly, and everyone's kind of hating on her for how she looks, it's going to be real quick that people don't want to play her anymore. And especially when, like, Cody and Sagat, who are maybe, like, two of the top five fan-favorite Street Fighter characters of all time at this point, are coming up later. Yeah, I just don't think you're going to see her a lot this year. I think the people who claim they were excited for Infiltration saying that they're not anymore, it's kind of a death sentence for that character. And I think, you know, until
they patch it, right, and then she comes
until they patch it and she becomes top tier, exactly. I really, like, I guess I respect the idea that they're not trying to make these new characters broken, and they've very successfully done that. No one has come out and then been broke. Like, even the best DLC characters were always good the next season, never when they came out. And so,
but this one feels like that it's a little more underwhelming.
This
than
feels
normal.
More underwhelming than usual, and at this point, I think people would like them to like just shake it up more than already. I mean, we're already getting to the point where tournament results are getting pretty standardized. I think they could take a few more risks than they're taking with the DLC characters right now, who are just at this point when we're like 18 characters in or whatever, 15 characters in, and they've been this consistently not that great. Something's got to change, I think. Or people are going to stop buying them. You know, people are going
to
stop trying.
That's the thing. You're supposed to make them overpowered right off the bat so that people buy it, right? This is literally like, what the fuck?
I come up with the exact, like, if a new character comes out, they're probably going to be bad. That's like, that's statistically okay to say at this point. And I think they should stop with that.
It's a shame.
Yeah, you got to err on the other side. You got to err so at least people are flocking to it. At least people have a Falk and then can come back to it. But if they dust her right now, they leave her in the dust right now, it's like there's no way you're going to get able to bring people back to this character without a lot of work and a lot of time. So I don't see, like, if you're going to screw up that way, not that way.
And yeah, and people are mentioning Guile and Akuma in the chat, and they were a lot better than, you know, Falk or a few other characters who came out, but they both got buffed pretty significantly before they were called as good as they are. So, and I think people would like more characters to be good as Guile and Akuma were on release. I think that would be cool. So, I mean, I hope there's more of that.
Hey guys, they announced more games for Animevo.
Wow. I didn't think that was possible.
It's very possible. They added Windjammers. They added, what else was it? Dengeki Bunko. What else? BlitzComp is now in there. So
oh, shit, they got BlitzComp?
They got BlitzComp.
I forget.
Yeah, of course Catherine's on there.
I don't see it. Are you messing with me?
It's to the left of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Tournament Fighter.
Oh, yep, right there. Cool.
I would not steer you wrong. I would not steer you wrong. So you also have heard that some of these games are going to have their top fours streamed on official Evo channels. Oh, I know cool. Catherine's getting their top four. I believe, I think TMNT is as well. And Unist, I don't have the list in front of me, and I apologize for that.
In 20 seconds or less, can either Steve or Donka explain to me why Catherine is so revered in the fighting game community and is always entertained as like, well, maybe they'll have Catherine at the event. It's like, no, that's silly.
There's a few fairly vocal names, like Dacid Bro being probably the main one, who are very big proponents of the game and have created a scene that enjoys it. And you know, people like Jabali with CEO Taku and now Evo with Animevo and a few other tournaments have been willing to let them carve out the space for Catherine. It's been going on for a few years now. So I don't think it really grows a ton, but I don't think it really shrinks a ton either. So I think people just let them have their, you know, their turn. God damn it. their tournament and let it go. And then people seem to enjoy it enough. Yeah.
All right. 20 seconds. Thank you.
Why isn't Infinite on here? That's an anime game, right?
What game?
It's going to be its own side tournament.
We're not allowed to
it's
talk
not
about
be...
that game.
Oh god!
Oh, I forgot about that lawyer cease and desist that we got. What are the three hearts? Is that just the logo? Is that a placeholder? Will there be something else in there?
That's the logo. It might be a placeholder. You know, this series basically, if you want to partner up with them and you want to run the game, they will help carry you under their banner. So there could be more games coming down the line that fall under the Anime Evo umbrella.
Oh, neat.
Can I say something really quick?
In 20 seconds or less.
Marvel? All right, 20 seconds left. I no spoilers, don't worry. I saw Infinity
War.
No,
wait,
War
do not talk about Infinity War at all, though. Come
I
on. I ain't
feel
you.
So, I just said no spoilers. This isn't counting against my 20 seconds. And I feel so sad because so many of those characters are in Infinite, and they are deep, and people, especially now, love them. Like, the general public loves them now. Characters like Thanos and Gamora and, you know, there's a whole bunch. Like, Black Panther now, his status in the public eye versus just, like, the comic book nerds before. I just feel like Infinite was such an opportunity, and it's super sad. Not even play the game, and that's all I wanted to say.
I thought really you were going to mention that Thanos was Spider-Man's dad, and that was going to be crazy.
How long is the spoiler moratorium, by the way? I haven't seen the movie. I don't really care. But
if anybody puts spoilers in this chat, I'm banning them for life.
All of the X-Men die. All of them.
Who?
I don't know if I can look at this.
Well, that's why they weren't. That's why they weren't in MVCI, is because they all died in Infinity War.
Oh God!
I just didn't see Black Panther's heel turn coming. It was weird to me.
Dude, I'm straight up gonna ban some sons of bitches if they're spawning this movie in the chat because I ain't seen it yet.
Why don't you just all right,
we're moving on. The Infinity War is over.
All right, let's.
I didn't
about
see
something.
The movie.
I think I just had
Let's
got a big
talk
spoiler.
About something else.
God damn it. I don't think I can do the rest of the show. I'm out of here, guys.
See ya.
All right, we can do it without him. Get out of here.
I'll need a break. You just keep the show going.
All right, show me the document. I'll tell you the next one. all right, we're going to talk about
the best of four.
The Summit of Power and how the nominations are now open. So for people who aren't used to the Summit of Power, as it's used for Dota and for Smash, there's various phases after the invitees. So there was 8 invitees who were already announced in that cool picture. And then people who did well in a certain amount of tournaments are able to opt in and thus allow themselves to be nominated, which is phase 1. And then after, like, the top, I think, 20 or so people who are nominated are put into a voting phase, at which point you're voted and the top people actually make it to the summit.
How many top people? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's 16 total.
Or 20 total.
20 total people in the Summit of Power? Okay, and there's 3...
Excuse me. No, 16. 16,
16 and there was eight were invited, 3 qualified via tournaments, and so I believe 5 people will be voted in. And so currently it's a nomination phase. The people have already, you know, opted in and are now being nominated. I think Tekill Sage and Yohosi and Kane Blue River are actually at the top right now as far as people.
We've got a graphic.
Oh, we've got a graphic?
You can pull that up. Down? Oh, wow. Adios. Bye-bye.
What the hell? I'm back, guys.
Oh, wait, I thought you got mad and left because I wasn't looking at it. Because of the spoilers in the chat.
Hey, I don't know what graphic you're talking about, brother, because I don't see it.
It should be the very last one.
Oh, got it. Here you go. I'm back.
Yay.
So these are the people who opted in and can be nominated.
So you've got a bunch of killers here. Yohosie, obviously. You've got Kizzy K. You've got Abigan. Moke. Punk is in there as well. Grover. Who did really well at Evo, KBR. Just a bunch of white black out of EU. So just a bunch of talented people that you have to choose from. And not me, unfortunately.
How is Moke? I get that Moke maybe wasn't one of the top 8, but it's weird for me seeing his name, considering he'd be the one up there like at majors like NCR, like competing with Goichi and you know, being in those kind of top 8s. I guess that just shows you how competitive the scene is right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was a few, I mean, and there's people who are upset because right now he's not actually near the top of the nomination, so he might not make it. It's one of those things where at this point it's a popularity contest through and through. And I mean, getting and not saying most of these people are quite qualified, but reaching top 32 of a few of these tournaments isn't, you know, necessarily nearly as hard as getting third or so like Moke was. But despite that, he's not nearly guaranteed to make it there. At this point, if you're on this list, it's purely how many votes you can get and has nothing to do with the game from the rest of the time on, which has...
Well,
it's been a big deal in Smash.
Be good. Like, Dekilsa's just one, right?
Oh, so, yeah. And I mean, obviously, if you do better, people tend to vote for you, right? But, you know, Smash has had a lot of drama over the fact that getting voted in once you make it to this stage has often come down to, you know, what you're willing to eat on stream or who you're willing to get to pay for your votes or whatever. And so, who knows? It seems a little less crazy than the Smash stuff has gone so far, but we're also not that far into the process, and I hope we can avoid some of the drama that they've seen.
You know what was also crazy was the Blade cameo in an Infinity War. I did not see that coming at all.
Oh, Jesus Christ, stop!
Would have been better if it was Wesley Snipes. I won't tell you who the actor is.
It was Al Pacino, wasn't it?
You gone. Peace, cabron. All right, Panda Global... announces...
It's funnier if you can't hear me.
Panda Global announces Panda Global Fighters League. What's tell me about that? That's not it. That's not it. That's not it either. Oh, I have a tweet. Let me see here. There's the winner.
Okay. So if you remember the Burst League from last year where events got to opt in and it was run by Panda Global and the top finishers at each event got points, the top points earners got something special at the end. It's going to be something along those same lines for Dragon Ball FighterZ. The top three finishers at the end of the season will get essentially sponsored by Panda Global for EVIL. So they'll fly them out. They'll play under the PG banner. So pretty cool to see. I believe Texas Showdown will be the first event under the Fighters League banner. Excuse me. So,
Duncan, I bet you have an opinion on this.
I think it's cool. I thought the point layout was a bit weird to me. The most like the highest point garnering tournaments are the sub only tournaments to a stream, so it does feel like a lot of this is meant to direct traffic towards subbing to the stream, but at the same time, I mean, it's their sponsorship to give out. They can divvy it however they want, and it's a cool opportunity, and I think the prize is really nice, especially for like there's so many online events, right, that you really could win this from home, at which point a sponsorship to play under PG at Evo is really cool. So I mean, I think it's a great thing.
Right on. There is one big topic. We have like 15 minutes before we bring on Jabali, and we have plenty of topics left. But there's one main one that we wanted to discuss, which was the point structure. But first, this character's in coming to Soul Calibur 6.
Oh, my God. I forgive even the weird mask, which she's had before, I know. She's Bay.
She's Bay?
She's Bay.
She's not. Danko was saying that only children think that this is Bay, and that in fact Sophitia is the one true waifu. And everybody else needs to grow up.
Where's the law?
Taki was the moving agent force behind me going from being a child to an adolescent, because when I was playing Soul Calibur 2, I was like, I don't even play girl characters traditionally, but I really want to play this character, and I don't understand why. And then all of a sudden, I realized it, and that was cool with playing her or Ivy.
What do you think realized? Taki. What was it that came to you?
Just inner reflections in my soul that I don't need to discuss right now.
They've done a really good job. Like, I think a lot of people are realizing or already knew that Soul Calibur was a big, you know, early fighting game, maybe before they were competitive in their childhood. And so yeah. I think they've really played on the nostalgia well. Because, like, this is definitely a game that people played, you know, without taking it that seriously back in the day. Or maybe they did. But people seem excited for this. And I think that, you know, a few years ago, maybe this wouldn't have come out with as much, you know, love as it's getting right now. And it certainly didn't with Soul Calibur 5 or 4. But they're doing a good job here.
Did you see that last post? How can you? What's it? Sofrita or whatever? What's your name?
Yeah, Sofritas. Yeah,
that's Sofritas. Yeah. One for Taki or two for Sofritas or whatever.
It's
it
tacos
is.
And Sofritas. Yeah.
Yeah. Taki's actually.
Or actually, like, Takis. Yeah, it could be Takis.
Yeah.
All right. This is for. Sorry, guys. This is. We're totally adults, but this one here is for John. Is this you're talking about, John? Is this how you became a man?
It's a dagger.
It's a really cool dagger shot. You're right.
She's so good at unsheathing that dagger. And look at that. Did you see that last? Oh, my gosh. I might play Soul Calibur.
I bet you will. All right. So let's talk about... That was a nice diversion there. Palette cleanser, if you will. Before we talk about the point structure of Capcom Pro Tour, you said, I'm going in. I'm going to go hard. I'm really upset.
That's exactly how I said it.
So why don't you go ahead and kick us off, if you want to tee it up first.
Sure. So, I mean, we heard, and I guess, Steve, you said that it was announced earlier that One Frame Link was doing the point distribution?
Right. This was something that they said when the structure was first announced.
Okay. Well, it came out again, and apparently a lot of people, myself included, did not know who had done the CPT point structure, and we've been yelling about who had done the CPT point structure, and now we know who to yell at. A lot of people brought it up this weekend, especially. I mean, for like a bunch of weekends in a row, the meme has always been who got 1 point this weekend. It was Justin Wong. It was Hot Dog. It was John Takeuchi. It's been a bunch of people who have been the recipient of that meme. And in a response to this, OneFrameLink said that they had created the one point so that people would feel included and happy that they got a point and satisfied with that in the Capcom Pro Tour. And basically, that's gotten some heat, and I would like to give it some more heat because I think that's fairly ridiculous.
Danka, can you bring the heat?
And almost offensive to the players who are like actually traveling around the world and have been Capcom Pro Tour class before and are now getting one useless point. I think
we do have the quote. Can we pull it up just so everyone sees this?
Sure. Wait. This is it right here.
Yeah, this was in response to Tampa Bison, who was being critical of the idea of offering just one point, saying it was essentially useless. And OneFrameLink came out and said on Twitter, quote, "The point of offering one point, no pun intended, is to give players who may not normally get on the CPT leaderboard an opportunity to do so. A lot of players see it as a point of pride slash accomplishment just to get on the board. Source, we created the CPT 2018 points just..."
I get this to an extent. Look, I, from beating Brian F. in the chat at Combo Breaker 2 years ago, got a point. And I get it. I thought it was funny, right? But that was for getting, like... what did I get, like 25th or something like that? Like 25th at what was then a ranking event. Maybe it was 17th. I don't remember what it was. But, I mean, 7th at these ranking events? None of the people getting 7th at these ranking events have ever cared about that single point.
Nah, bro, no. There's point of pride right
there. These are
right
people
there.
Who care way more, you know, about actually making it to the Capcom Cup Finals. And I think saying that shows a lack of understanding of the tour, really, which is sad because they're the ones making the point distribution for the tour. No one who got 7th at one of these events cares at all. In fact, they're probably pissed about it.
Dude, Justin Wong has that one point of pride. He's up on the board. I'm sure it means a lot for him.
I will say this. They have gone on record in saying that what they were defending was the existence of a tier having one point, not necessarily the that making top 8 at a ranking event would have one point. What bothered me is like the people who would benefit from, you know, having this pride slash accomplishment, not to make any jokes about the whole Star Wars Battlefront thing, are people who don't necessarily make top 8s all the time. It feels very weird to hear this reasoning, even though, you know, it's not intended necessarily for this particular argument. But when this reasoning is put forward, considering that last year there were more people who got those points and that they were going farther down to the people who won't necessarily compete for these points. You know, I mean, Justin Wong doesn't need a sense of pride or accomplishment for earning a point. K-Brad doesn't need a sense of pride or accomplishment. They're essentially getting nothing for making top 8 at tournaments that are, frankly, more difficult than they were at this point last year.
Yeah, no, certainly. And I think they almost purely went backwards at this point with this point distribution. And I'm surprised. You know, I'm just really interested to see what Michael Martin's video on Wednesday is going to say. Because I honestly can't think of almost anything other than these goofballs here joking about timing each other out on our Twitch chat. I'm interested to see what their defense of this is, because it has been something that I've seen almost completely unanimously, you know, hated on at this point.
Is he doing one? Is it confirmed that he's coming back with a Wake Up Wednesday or whatever he calls them?
Yes.
Tomorrow?
Yes. Yes. He will be putting out a video tomorrow. and the point distribution is going to be a topic of discussion in that video.
It just seems so far backwards that it's like really hurting the tour at this point. And I think it's going to change the way people travel to events for the rest of the season.
If we could just take a step back on this whole thing, anytime somebody tries to tell me or the community at large how to feel about something, how to think about something, it's really what it is this, or it's just a function of this, or this, that, and the other, that shit's never going to go well. This is a point of, no, trust me, guys, it's a point of pride. You get up on the big board and all that. Man,
Yeah, there's going to be a point in the season where the ranking events aren't worth enough to push people into tournaments, and they're going to stop going. And I think you're going to see a ranking event attendance go down, whereas in past years, I think maybe it would have gone up. So as people try to get into the tour. But, I mean, if you're only at 200 or 300 and there's a ranking event left, you're not going to make it there. It's not winning. It's not going to do anything for you. So we'll see.
That's the point structure thing, and I don't want to leave anything on the table. So does anybody else have an opinion on that?
I can't wait for tomorrow.
What are you anticipating?
I just want to see what the official...
Where's John?
Hey, John. Hi, John. Hi, John.
God damn it. All right, let's get the show back on track here. Sorry I banned you, John, from the chat. So CPT point structure, we'll know for sure. Hopefully they'll address it in some kind of way that's, satisfying to everybody who's interested in this. You'll have a full report for us?
That's actually...
On Twitter? Anybody? John? On Event Hubs? Maybe you'll write something? God damn it, Sky. You're such a John. All right. We're really excited about our guest tonight. His name is Alex Jabaley. Heard of him? And as a result, we had as our question of the day, who in the FGC would you want to see in a wrestling ring? And there's some obvious ones, of course. If you recall, this from, I want to say this was Kumite in Tennessee. Can you confirm that for me?
It was Kumite.
We really have Katana Prime stepping into a shot. I feel like if you're wearing a luchador mask, you're asking for some foot to the face.
Especially if you push an icon like KP. You're just asking for this.
I should pause it right there just because that face is hilarious. Okay, that's one. I think that punches his ticket to deserving to be in a wrestling match. But then, of course, the granddaddy of them all, featured on ESPN, among other places, was K-Brad's Stone Cold Steve Austin entrance.
And here's the thing with the CEO entrances. Like 80% of everyone who comes in, they try to emulate their favorite wrestler, and they do an okay job.
Horrible job.
Yeah. Somewhere between horrible and okay. But look, I mean... The can tosses are absolutely on point. That those two, whoever threw those, are the MVP of this entire thing, because without them, this whole thing goes to waste. Just like those drinks. And then, okay, it's over. It's fun. We've had fun. Dayash is going to congratulate him on a job well done. Hey, you did a great job. Nope! Stunner!
The stunner part was the only part I liked. The rest of it was kind of like whatever.
Well, that's because you don't know what you're talking about.
That could be part of it. You're right. That's why you're staying on for the interview. Anyway, as far as the question of the day goes, in honor of the CEO Cross New Japan Pro Wrestling event going down, which FGC member would you like most wanted, blah, 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 wrestling rank? First guy, White Tigress 76, says Katana Prime and Shinken Sakin. They killed it at the Kumite with the sweet chin music to Spicy God's Skit, hands down. Zalbag Bolv, this guy's in our chat often. Alex Vivers, Mike Watson. Damn, that'd be a good one.
That would. I think we might have to set some ground rules for that one first, because that could go wrong pretty quick.
What is it? No knives in the parking lot, or who do you got in that one?
Oh man,
that's a tough. I feel like Watson has been keeping up with his scrappiness more often lately, so I'm gonna have to go with Watson.
Vi is two esports now.
I think Vi might be two esports for for a match,
for an actual street fight. Or actually, we're saying wrestling match. John, who you got? All right, no, that's a good point. Here we have the Icy Glaceon. I want to be in the ring. Someone fight me. All right. Big Boss Dayasha says Big Boss Dayasha versus K-Brad. Hands down, peep the clip. We already played it. Bartholomew says, I vote for K-Brad receiving a Stone Cold Stunner from Steve Austin. brother. All right. That brings us to the end of question of the day.
Why did you go into Hulk Hogan mode?
You know what, man? When I'm talking like a wrestler, got to throw in some brothers.
Well, I actually wrestled in high school, the kind where you actually wrestle each other. So maybe someone should wrestle me in like one of those lame wrestling matches where you have the headgear. I'll take any and all challengers.
Oh, really? An actual Greco-Roman
freestyle wrestling match? Right. I did not do Greco-Roman.
What's the difference?
It's more grabs with Greco-Roman, more upper body, throw stuff, kind of.
Not boring. You'd rather do footsies than grapple?
Well, there's grappling both ways. I mean, it's all about grappling.
You know what, dude? Don't confuse me with the facts. Fuck you, John. What do you know? Unmute yourself, John. I want to hear from you.
Now, do you remember that brief period of time when someone tried to do real professional wrestling where it was like Greco-Roman or freestyle wrestling?
But yes, they had entrances? That was a thing.
That was a terrible thing.
Yo, if I remember correctly, Sajam, when he was on the show, told us that he was real into actual wrestling. Maybe that was before the show started and we were just chatting him up. That he's super into it. He used to follow it. He used to watch it. You think you could take Sajam in an actual wrestling match?
Which one of those things is really unfair because the weight classes are different, right? So, I mean, it's like...
You're saying he's smaller than you?
He is smaller than me.
Did you just not say...
But if he wants to take the challenge, I'll take it.
On all challengers.
But not Sajam.
And now you're trying to make excuses? The first challenger you hear
I'm
from?
I'm making excuses for him.
Sure. That's what they all say.
The weight class option select says right here. That brings us to the panel, guys. You have anything else to say? Because we're about to bring on Alex DeBailey. Our boy Steve will stay on. John, what do you have to say, pal?
Good talk.
Okay. What? God damn it. Anyway, John, if you weren't putting spoilers in the chat, I wouldn't have banned you, all right? So you learned your lesson.
What's crazy about this actually parallels the ending of Infinity War.
Yeah, John dies at the end.
John dies at the end.
John writes for Event Hubs. He's a swell guy. He's unbanned in the chat. I don't know what he's crying about. You don't have to mute his damn mic. You can read his articles. I'm sure he'll have a full write-up on Michael Martin's thing tomorrow. Why not? Got any more Nicki Minaj articles coming out? Two or three? Okay. Anyway, thanks, John, for joining us tonight. This is Michael Duncan Schiller. He usually sticks around, but he says, y'all got this. Oh, are you sticking around?
No, I'm saying y'all got this.
Damn it. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Michael Duncan Schiller. Are you going to be at Texas Showdown?
I will be at Texas Showdown.
And then a couple of weeks later, will you be at Awesome DreamHack?
I will be at DreamHack, and then I will be at Combo Breaker. So I'm going to actually be, for the first time, coming out of my cave and going to several tournaments in a row.
Nothing but Dragon Ball?
Nothing but, I think Dragon Ball, and I might enter King of Fighters.
King of Fighters? What about Street Fighter V?
I'm not going to enter Street Fighter V. I feel like I'm just wasting my time.
I feel like you're wasting my time right now, dog.
Probably, yeah.
All right, well, that
I'll
was...
See you at Combo Breaker.
See you there.
Oh, who is that?
Who unbanned this guy? All right. So thank you, John. Thank you, Mike. Steve, thank you for hanging out and helping me interview Alex DeBailey. Peace, guys. All right.
You guys have fun.
Yeah, thanks, John. So,
love you, miss you, bye.
Steve, when we bring DeBailey on, we will be discussing, among other things, the new Japan Pro Wrestling announcements. This dude's, like, going nuts. It's fine. Steve is no longer with us at the moment, so I'm talking to myself and to you, chat. We have DeBailey on. This guy, his ego knows no bounds. When we tweeted out, when I asked him to be on the show, he said, oh, man, I was going to watch Avengers Infinity War again. Then we tweeted out, put a picture that came from footage that I shot of his debated face, and he's like, but goddamn, why do you got to use that picture? He wanted the official Tempest Rob picture. Sorry, I don't have it. But only from this man will I accept such lip. Just kidding. I've had several occasions, several opportunities to hang out with this guy. I don't know why he kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. People hate on him. He's one of the nicest dudes. Sure, he's got a little bit of an ego issue, but I feel like he's earned it. And we're excited to have him on the show. We tested the call earlier. He's coming in loud and clear. And we'll have Steve. There's Steve. Hey, Steve. Welcome back.
Yo. Thank you.
And I missed you so much. The man, the myth, the legend, Alex Jabaley of
Jabaley. Can we get Steve off the show? He says he doesn't care about Infinity War.
I'm not saying I don't care.
I refuse to answer any questions from this a-hole.
Wow. Okay. All right. How about I just relay the questions from this a-hole to that a-hole, and then that a-hole can ask you the questions.
Yeah.
I don't see any a-holes here. Anyways, no. Hey, guys, what's up?
Here, we're framing up the shots, so we'll have you up here on the screen in a second. But, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. For some reason, your camera keeps getting unclicked. We're trying to figure it out. Oops. Why is that happening? I see it here. I see the malfunction. It's happening in real time. Why don't we just... Okay. I think we have you. Nope. It went away. What is going on? I'm not sure why that's happening. Why don't we go? Why don't we go full screen with just Alex? Elon, can you do that? In the meantime, we can hear you. You're coming in loud and clear, although we can't see you. Hey, Alex, how you doing, man?
Tired. I'm good though. Everything's good. So much going on, man. Not just CEO, but just in general in the fighting game community behind the scenes, and everyone's busy putting on millions of events and. Just trying to keep up and have everyone keep up with me as well. So it's been a challenge this year, but everything's going pretty good.
And you always have a ton going on, and it's like, damn, dude, this guy's got a lot on his plate. And then the next year, now 2018, you have more shit on your plate. Are you addicted to the stress of putting on a bunch of stuff and juggling a bunch of balls?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, dude, you only live once, man. I want to leave an impact when my days are over of TOing and just bring the best experience as possible, because I still have a great time doing it, you know. And I've been trying to play a little bit of Street Fighter. I went to the Red Bull Conquest in Chicago and played Cammy, went 2-2. I was like, man, I kind of miss pushing buttons. And then it was Street Fighter V. I was like, man, I really miss armored moves with Balrog. So so I tried adding that back into my plate to compete again. And I've actually been having fun playing online and stuff. But just so much going on. But I live for it, man. I'm doing great. DreamHack's been treating me awesome. And planning all their events across the world is it's been easier than last year. Now that I know who to talk to from each region and all that stuff. And I really enjoy it. But they've been super supportive of CEO and knowing that sometimes I'm busy to do that. And they know I'm going to. Like, I had a chat with one of them. I'm like, dude, do you guys ever feel like I talk too much about CEO? Like, we wouldn't have hired you if you couldn't multitask the way you do. So that was a boost to my, you know, personal confidence as an organizer and event planner. So it's just kept me motivated and still enjoying it. And now this whole wrestling thing's been taking both sides from by storm and getting a lot of new fans into the FGC that have never heard of us, that are now like, I love fighting games, but I never knew this existed as much as the, you know, wrestling community. So everything's going according to plan, my friend. I couldn't be happier.
Now, that's one of the things that's most exciting to me, and I want to get into it here in a little bit. You know, the crossover potential, right, and the fans on both sides, plenty of good fans on both sides, and bring them together, and how you synthesize that, how do you get the most out of it so that you get the crossover from both sides, and then they all of a sudden, you know, potentially you gain new fans for both, right? But first, and we'll save that question for a second here while Lon tries to figure it out. I'm literally looking at the Skype screen, and for some reason it won't stay on your shot, but we can still hear you, like I said.
So, you could get with the times and use Google Hangouts like the rest of the world, but hey, it's up to you.
Hey, man, we're old school here. Maybe next time we'll use Discord. But I did have one question for you before we get into all that. Have you had to call any moms and tell them that their children are misbehaving at a Smash event?
No, not yet. I kind of tuned that stuff out after just hearing massive complaints, man. I mean, it's not just the Smash community. It's a lot of different communities. But social media, man, it's changed everything. Everybody is a lot more sensitive. Everybody uses their reach easier. You know, back in the day, if I had a problem, I'd go probably run to my mommy or daddy and cry to them about stuff, or talk to like two best friends, not go vent it out to the whole world. And then just, you know, the whole mob mentality and all that. So times have definitely changed. You got to adapt with it. You know, and just it's a shame, man. People, because end of the day, everybody online is going to be the way they are. But then once they're in person, everyone's as nice as can be to each other and treating everyone with respect. So it's just a weird situation year round. You know, 11 and a half months of the year, everyone's mean to each other. And once they're in person, like, man, I missed you. It's so great to see you. So it's just a crazy world we live in. I mean, if North and South Korea can get along, now I think Smash players can get along with each other.
That's two wonderful quotes from Alex Alfaro. First of all, you only live once. I hadn't heard that one before. YOLO.
There's and hope the, for all of us.
If North and South Korea can get along. Also, Elon, what the hell is going on with this picture you have up of Jubaili?
Dude, I am using a brand new C920 Logitech. What is going on over there?
Our Skype, I've never seen it happen, Alex. So he's like having to punch in on this little image of you at the top of the screen. I'm embarrassed.
It's like you guys use the time stone and you're getting footage of me from the 90s.
What are you doing now, Alon? This is even worse.
Hi.
God damn it. This is embarrassing. We did test the call and it looked great. Damn. All right. You know what, Steve? Why don't you take it from here? You have some questions about New Japan Pro Wrestling that you wanted to throw at our esteemed guest.
Before we get into that, though, you kind of touched on it earlier with all you're doing. You're running CEO. You're involved in you're going to the Red Bull events, among others. You're also involved in running the FGC tournaments in for DreamHack. How much of that stuff takes away, or does it take away, I should say, from preparing for CEO?
It's an excellent question. I ask myself that every day, and I'm like, that's the stress point, right? It's like I'm doing everything, all this stuff, and then when CEO happens, will it falter for it? More than ever this year, I've learned to delegate, actually, especially from working with DreamHack and, you know, having these weekly meeting calls with 8 to 9 people of everyone doing their part part of the bigger puzzle and how well it's organized, that it's actually helped me delegate more with CEO. And because I tell my staff, like, guys, this wrestling event Friday, you might not see me because I have to, you know, make sure all the Japanese wrestlers are handled, make sure the show's going great with the AV production, all that, which I've been still working on. And it's just like, guys, this is the year where I'm not going to be there. If you need me, I'll run over. But, you know, I trust you guys. And my local guys, Luke and Ryan and Andres and a lot of other guys have been really stepping it up, man. We have locals now with like 6 guys working together on the stream, just helping each other out. So more than ever, I feel more confident in my entire staff to where I don't have to be hands on with every single thing like in previous years. But hopefully it doesn't affect it too much. My only worry is, and the main reason I've been losing weight and working out consistently is because I'm going to be traveling nonstop. You know, it's different when you, it's easy when you do from like state to state, and that's just the life we live. But when I have to go from, you know, Combo Breaker Chicago, and then 2 days later go over to DreamHack Austin, then as soon as I'm done with that, go over to Sweden. As soon as I'm done that, come back, have like 7 days right before CEO to get all the packages shipped to my house. And as soon as that's done, I'm helping out with Pokken Tournament again this year in Columbus, Ohio. As soon as that's done, go back over to Spain. So, and it's not me going to these events to join them. It's me literally planning out every single one, making sure staff is hired, booking flights, all that stuff. So it's a lot of responsibility. End of the day, we're going to see how it ends up, to be honest with you. I really don't know what to expect personally wise, but I think everyone involved is going to be stepping it up more than ever, and we'll be all right.
Now, you talk about the team you work with, and one person I know specifically that you work with a lot is the Hato, Rick, who runs Combo Breaker. It seems like you guys have a lot of crossover. You have a lot of the same viewpoints when it comes to running events. How important has that partnership been to what you do with CEO?
He provides a totally different perspective than I can. Him working at Twitch has shown me the side of like the whole broadcast and what goes on behind the scenes with all the tours and stuff. It's only gotten better, our relationship. We've both gotten busier, so we don't get to talk to each other as much as we used to. And it's kind of like a time frame thing, right? So Common Breaker's coming up, so I respect and understand he's totally busy with that. As soon as he's done doing what he needs to do to be, make sure he's 100% ready, the focus shifts over to CEO. So it's one of those things where we just understand what each guy's going through and what's on his plate, what's on my plate. So it's been great, man. He's been my right-hand guy for years now, just to pass my ideas through, whether they're good or bad. He shoots them down or supports them. But this year I've been a lot more hands-on, just trying to get more people involved. Generally, all these like slides you see or these announcements would be like Rick in the past. Now we have Puna. You know, a Midwest guy, he's been stepping up and learning from Rick how to design the CEO branding stuff. And then my guy's been helping out with trailers, Garrett, that makes CEO trailers to make these announcement trailers, which I was so excited when I sent over to New Japan Pro Wrestling, like, this is how I want to present these announcements. Like, they look beautiful. Go ahead. And I was like, oh my God, you know, so because working with New Japan Pro Wrestling has been an amazing experience, but it's almost like when Capcom Japan had a hard time, you know, approving stuff over on the in USA for these tours, and it took them a while to get on. So it's the same concept across the wrestling world in Japan, and very old-fashioned, very traditional and protective. But it's been a real treat, and working with Kenny especially. Me and Kenny, man, we've been chatting literally every day, and he's, you know, like 13 hours ahead. So when I'm going to sleep, he's waking up, and vice versa. He's been a real treat to work with. I'm sure you'll ask me about that too. So, but as for Rick, man, we wouldn't have gotten this far together if it wasn't for that relationship we have.
Hey, how's it been working with Kenny?
Amazing, dude. That guy, I wish I could really convey it, especially to social media, but you know, he is a professional wrestler, so he's got this personality to uphold. And me, I'd love to be that wrestler personality online, but I have a tournament and parents to talk to and companies to represent and all that, so it's hard for me to kind of balance both sides of that. But he's been awesome, man. This honestly would not have happened without him. Him talking to the company, going, "Hey guys, trust in Alex Jabaley and his team. They know what they're doing. They'll be respectful to the brand," which gives me all the confidence in the world that we can pull it off. And you know, I've been working to actually. We're going to be producing the broadcast actually, and it's going to be Chris Seglia's team that does most of the pro tours. And Seglia has been researching. I'm like, "Here, let me sign you up for an account to New Japan Global, just to look at the camera views and all that stuff." So we're doing our research to. Represent that. And I remember when I first made the announcement, I'm like, man, nobody believes this is real, right? Nobody's going to think it until New Japan talks about it or Kenny talks about it. But I wanted to just get that out there so people can start planning. And it just, it's been now that we've been announcing the wrestlers and they're like, oh my God, this is happening. It's been surreal. I've been getting email interviews, TV interviews for local news channels to just talk about the events. So I'm stepping into a whole nother stratosphere of fear of reaching out to these different communities.
Yeah, how did going back to that, how did this come together? How did it go from okay, this would be something cool to do to man, this is something I'm actually doing?
Right. I mean, I wish I could say it was over a couple beers with Kenny at dinner once, but he doesn't drink at all. So it was one of those just over the years we've hung out. And when I was, I think about a year ago, I'm like, hey, Kenny, what do you think about doing like a real wrestling event? And at first, he's like, you know, I love CEO because I get to have fun and it's with both communities at the same time. But he's like, you know what, maybe we can kick it up a notch. And I really don't remember where that spark came from on how it happened. But I'm just like, hey, I'm moving to Daytona Beach, and you know, I've been talking about Daytona for 2 years, and I've known since day one I'd have this arena, and we have this space that we should try to fill, you know, on the first night before all the finals kick off. And he's like, hey, let me talk to the team and see what we can make happen. These are the dates, you know, and all that stuff. And then it was just a snowball effect from there. He's like, hey, we're good to go. I'm working on the list with everybody. You know, what's your budget for appearances, stuff like that. And I'm just like, just whatever it takes to put on a good show, buddy, you know, and just that's really how it came about, man. And then once I met with their president, actually very briefly, and Kenny translated for me, which was a great experience. And then just showing them how, you know, how much I care about the brand and want to bring a cool thing. And their wrestlers, New Japan Pro wrestlers, have been to like Florida with Ring of Honor shows and stuff like that. But the brand itself's never done it like their own personal show. This is giving me a chance to show how awesome this brand and this company is. Because, you know, they're a no-fluff wrestling community. Kenny and them, they've changed the storyline game, I think, with his teams, with the Young Bucks and all that. But it's like Florida is kind of – we have NXT and WWE happening all the time. Let's show something different. And New Japan just about that quality wrestling that I think people are really going to enjoy. And my first setback was like, man, I'm announcing this live wrestling event. How many of the fighting game guys are like, what is Jabaley doing? Why is he ruining our fighting game experience? And that it's been the total opposite, man. I've had people like weren't sure about coming to CEO that are like, man, I got to go now. And FGC guys hitting me up like, can I have an entrance? Can I be in the ring? You know, stuff like that. And as much as I'd love to get some of the guys involved, this is going to be a through and through New Japan show, respectful of the brand. I can't even be in during the live show, to be honest with you. Have some other surprises planned for everybody that's there. But, you know, live show is going to be all about the quality wrestling that these guys can provide. And and Kenny, like I said, amazing human being, dude. Me and him just... it's not about, you know, the business or the money. It's about just providing an experience that people will never forget.
I certainly want to keep going on the New Japan show that you're going to do, but I want to peel back to something that you mentioned about the arena. CEO this year is going to a big convention center in Daytona Beach, huge arena. And we're seeing more and more events go in this direction. You know, Final Round went to the Atlanta Convention Center. Do you think it's sustainable to do you think there's enough energy in the fighting game community to keep these events at that large a size for the foreseeable future?
I think so. It's been tough, man. You know, at first I was a little worried moving CO to a completely different city. They have an okay airport for East Coast flyers, but nothing, you know, for general. So people still have to go to Orlando. So I was worried at first, but our main hotel, which has twice the number of rooms I've had in previous years, already completely sold out. I just signed a contract with the four backup hotels. They're already on their way to selling out. So the attention's there. The people are showing up for at least CEO. I can't speak on behalf of other events, but Combo Breaker continues to grow. We'll see how Evo does with the Street Fighter V drop, but you know, Dragon Ball is gonna be freaking huge across the board. It's my number one game already right now for CEO. And thing is, we still can't kind of predict the numbers until each event's done, because the FGC does not plan in advance, man. And I've come to expect that now. I don't stress it. I don't worry about it. Like, I look at my numbers now, which is about 800 more than they were at the same time last year. But I know everyone's still gonna wait till the very last second and then be like, all right, this is how many people are coming. We gotta be ready. So I think it's sustainable with Soul Calibur 6 coming out, a new Smash. You know, how long it's sustainable for, we'll see if these Pro Tours can keep going on. And yeah, I'm just, my job is to not really worry about that. It's just to put on the best event possible and hope it grows. And it's, I moved it to a bigger city and it's growing, so I have nothing to worry about so far.
But you know, like, to compare it to Evo, which I'm sure you love comparisons between CEO and Evo. you know, Evo has kind of taken on a life of its own, whereas if even the tournament structures and fighting game tournaments as we know them were to change to a different format or not get as popular anymore or whatever, Evo would still stand apart as like a mecca, as a gaming convention for fighting game enthusiasts kind of thing. How close, or what's CEO's version of that, or is that not how you think of it? Because, I mean, adding a whole wrestling event to it really does make it a whole new thing of its own.
Right. I mean, the end game would be to have like meet and greets and wrestlers and all that stuff throughout the weekend and just combine it with fighting games. Evo doesn't need any gimmicks like I kind of feel I do, right? They're still the biggest. Their focus is bringing together the biggest and best competitors. I had a great time last year. They stepped up their exhibitors area. Their BYOC area was awesome, all that stuff. So that's the stuff I try to emulate and bring it to the East Coast, which we're lacking on that scale. But it's just like CEO's personality now is just the most fun event you can go to. And our crowd's amazing. Our staff's amazing. And that's, I just want to kind of keep that going and show that Florida can host a really big gaming event. And that's the way it's been going and just going to keep going with that. And the wrestling event was pretty much, I have a whole night in this arena we could use for something. It's literally just two and a half hours of content out of the whole weekend. And there's still plenty to do on the gaming side. So I think people are still going to be happy with the entire product. And now they just get a bonus of something to do. And, you know, people worried like, well, what's happening during the wrestling event? Is the tournament? I'm like, I'm making sure Friday at 8 p.m. all tournament pools are done. That way they can go into the arena, which is literally 100 feet from the tournament hall, and walk right in, enjoy the wrestling show, and then go enjoy Daytona for a night and then go back to playing games the next morning. So I've thought of everything.
So just to clarify, CEO, the tournament side, will be done for Friday before the wrestling show kicks off.
Correct. Yeah, at 12 noon, they'll start all the tournaments and go until 8 p.m. and then, you know, probably 8:15 if a last match is going on. And then the wrestling show is at 8:30, and it'll be separate ticketing. So people like, do I need both tickets? Like, a lot of wrestling fans just want to come see the wrestling event. The arena and the venue is so big that there can be a totally separate line into that wrestling show, into the arena, without ever affecting what's going on in the exhibit hall. So that's, you know, that was one of the main things I made sure is like, are you guys gonna be able to handle the traffic? And I asked them like, what's your attendance record? I'm like, well, you have 8,400 seats. I'm like, could that be the record? Like, no, Cher sold us out with 10,000 tickets. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. That was a funny conversation. They're like, you're not beating Cher. I'm like, okay. So that happened. But yeah, so.
But there might be beatings with chairs.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ghost. Come on, do something. All right. Good.
If only that rhymes with one of her songs. No. Do you believe in getting beat up? No. Okay, anyways, so yeah.
That's kind of a stretch. but let's talk about who's doing the beating with the chairs. We have a list of people who are announced for this show, and there's actually one more that you just announced right before you went live here.
Correct.
So do we have the graphic up?
I can pull it up. Give me a second. Sorry about that. I'm sleeping at the wheel here. Here we go.
All right. So If you follow New Japan, you're probably familiar with a bunch of these names. Golden Lovers, obviously, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi. You've got Gorillas of Destiny, Jushin Thunder Liger, Roppongi 3K, Hiromu Takahashi, Juice Robinson, a few others coming out. And then you also announced Dragon Lee, correct?
Right, yeah, he actually recently had a small injury during a match, so we were a little worried about it, but they literally sent me an email like this morning, like, Dragon Ling's okay, you're good to go. So I got to announce him. He's a very jacked luchador wrestler, does very well. And a lot of these guys, like, you go look at their Twitters, they have like 18, 20,000 followers compared to like WWE, who has like, you know, millions and hundreds of thousands. But these guys are super popular. And once I started announcing the littler guys, people were like, wow, this show has like, it's covering all bases. And when Kenny told me the list, I'm like, I'm really excited. And we had other people in mind, but now there's a Ring of Honor show the same night, which kind of hurt when he told me like the bad news a couple months ago. He's like, yeah, I'm like, we're losing the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, which were going to be a big part of the show. And I talked to them personally. They were like, felt so bad. And, you know, so things happen. It's almost like FGC where there's two events on the same weekend now, right? So that's just the way things are. WrestleMania weekend, there's like 70 shows in a single weekend, spanning indie shows, you know, medium-sized shows, all that stuff. So, but yeah, announce that. And then I have one more big announcement I'm going to be announcing tomorrow morning right before the official press release for the, as of now, final guy we are bringing into the show.
Oh, yeah, who's that?
I'm not telling you.
Come on.
No.
What if you tell this a-hole? I won't tell that
a-hole. No, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow. You shouldn't have said you hated Infinity War.
I don't hate it. I just it's there for me, you know. It's,
no,
it's,
I understand.
But speaking of that other show, you did mention the Ring of Honor show, which a lot of New Japan and Ring of Honor wrestlers kind of cross over, work each other's shows. There is another show there. There's also a UK show or two shows in the UK that same weekend for New Japan.
Right.
How much of a monkey wrench has that thrown into your plans in terms of who you're able to bring in and how you work around it?
Without, you know, divulging into the behind the scenes, I think the UK event, they've been doing events forever, and it's like, who's this guy in Florida taking away all these guys? But most of the guys that they're getting, they haven't announced yet. I mean, those are the guys they requested. So it's not really my responsibility or anything to like worry about that. So it's on their promoters, I guess, on the choices that they're making for their community. And I feel bad, right? I don't want this to happen. And I actually tried to think of a alternative to moving it around once he told me these other events were popping up, and that was impossible. So my job is just to bring on the best event. And a lot of the FGC guys will only know, you know, the Kenny Omegas and the Kota Ibushis and whoever I'm announcing tomorrow. And so I think we have a great lineup. I thought it over. I talked to some. I did a lot of research with the fans in the New Japan that I've gone to the American shows. I'm like, guys, what do you think of this list? I'm like, dude, that's going to be a killer, an awesome, you know, personalized show. Like, FGC and wrestling community gets to come to Daytona Beach and enjoy these guys going at it for them. But I think it's going to be really entertaining. And the guys we have, I've talked to personally, they're super excited to do it, right? I mean, it's their job. But I think they really like the fact that they get to show themselves off to a brand new community, and I think that's going to make for a great experience. The other events will do fine because they're year round. I'm just once a year, and that's why we got to go big or go home.
Now, this is, you know, you talked about people saying you're some guy in Florida. You haven't run a wrestling event before, as far as I know.
Right.
Have there been any unexpected challenges with that? Anything that surprised you?
Not really. I have actually been to a few local wrestling shows behind the scenes, helped with setting up the ring, looking at how they're doing their AV. So I've been doing my research and attending, and even gone to wrestling school and taking a couple bumps is what I'll leave it at that. And for a 35-year-old guy, man, I've been handling it pretty well. I just can't walk the next day. But the only challenges I've honestly seen is just the AV and production, making sure we can produce this wrestling show that will also budgetarily wise carry over into the rest of the weekend, because we're still going to have the entrances for the players and coming out. So that's been the biggest challenge. Coordinating with Japan to handle flights and stuff is obviously something I'm no stranger to. I do it for DreamHack. You know, I had to set up DreamHack Sweden and learn a little bit of Swedish and what, you know, arrival departure is and stuff. So no challenges. Kenny's been there every step of the way. We have a rider. If you guys don't know what a rider is, it's basically like the like the executive assistant for a show that gets you everything the wrestlers will need or what the production will need. So I have a guy, I can't say who it is, but it's one of the wrestlers besides Kenny that's helping me put this on. So they've been helpful, man, and learning along the way. But we've kind of done this already with CEO and the ring and the entrances. It's just obviously how do you pack in a 2-hour show in the most professional of ways and make sure it goes smooth. So I have faith in Chris and his team that we're all going to pull this off together, and it's going to be great.
Alex, are you streaming this on Twitch, the wrestling?
We haven't officially announced it, but yeah, there'll be a broadcast of sorts.
Nice. I feel like...
Which is a first, by the way. It's never been streamed on Twitch New Japan Pro Wrestling, so getting that approved was a small challenge, but I understand this brings in a whole new market and a lot of potential.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, like, people at Twitch are probably like, holy shit, this is great, right? Like, this is fantastic to have this on our... Like, you're doing the whole platform a service here.
Trust me, I've already had a contract signed with them and their support and how excited they were and being able to connect two different worlds again. That's end of the day, man. I hope when people remember me, it's the fact that I networked so many good people to each other and you know, was always there to help people out.
It really is kind of crazy, especially considering how difficult it is to get these people in the room on a given weekend, considering all their other obligations. I hope this isn't a put you on the spot question, but is it going to be sub only? Because I mean, I feel like you could probably turn a buck on this real easy.
No, it'll be a free broadcast. I do want to make customized emotes and all that, and kind of push the CEO Gaming channel, and have like cool Kenny emotes and you know New Japan emotes and stuff like that. So, but no, we want the world to see it, and then I'm going to most likely provide the content over to New Japan to go on their network after the event. So. Because that would have opened the challenge would have been having them produce this whole show, but they have their big American show, which tickets just went on sale today. That's why mine are going on in a few days, because we wanted to kind of time it. So they're, you know, obviously their bread and butter is the focus, and then I come in with the backup events. Everyone that cries they couldn't get tickets, which I've been seeing, trust me, on seats and stuff already. So,
any idea like projections on? I guess not sub count, but projections on how many people you might get in, because this has the potential to be bigger than your average fighting game tournament, obviously.
I mean, 8,400 seats is the 84, like 34 is the final count. Realistically, me and Kenny have looked at each other like we would love to sell, you know, 3,000 tickets, which is at least the number of everyone attending CEO, and the tickets are going to be, you know, between $20 to $100, so nothing out of the ordinary. But if it were to sell out, man, I would be beside myself. We'd be happy. And I know New Japan would be ecstatic, and maybe we can build this into something bigger in future years. So, cause I'm not even thinking this summer, I'm thinking 2-3 years down the road, what this could turn into already.
Hey, we have a question from the chat. LJB Thunder says Wrestling Observer News suggested that FGC commentators will be commentating. Any truth to this?
Yes, I won't say who yet, but Kenny wants this to be the crossover part where we produce the show, and I have a couple guys that know everything about wrestling, and I think it'll bring a new dynamic to it, and I think it'll be great.
Interesting. Steve, what you got, bud?
And remember, it's a free show. If anybody bitches about the commentary, my bad.
You mentioned tickets going on sale in a few days. Can you share a little bit more about that? Because I'm sure you want everybody to know.
Hey, I'm blocking you.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody watching, if you are going to buy tickets, if you've already registered for CEO, you're going to get a pre-sale code tomorrow at midnight, which is Wednesday at midnight, and then at 10 a.m. Thursday, all those people can buy tickets for in advance for 24 hours. And then Friday, they go on sale to the general public. I've been getting a lot of overseas people coming out to this event, and like, I want to buy tickets for the whole weekend. But yeah, it's going through Ticketmaster. And one thing I'll talk about is I was trying to not use Ticketmaster because of their fees and such. But man, when you understand what they actually provide as a service is the reason why their fees are what they are. Because I was trying to use another company, a sister company, Ticketmaster, and it only been like a few dollars in fees. But then I would have had to manage the seating arrangements and have people watch the seats. They wouldn't have been assigned seats and hire three times the staff. So it balanced itself out to use Ticketmaster. And I think it'll be fine because they help promote it as well. And the city of Daytona has been emailing their whole community about the event and getting a lot of news coverage. And I think it's going to be great. And worst case, you know, right out of the bat, if tickets don't sell, I can always you know, just push harder and push the local community and people can buy there. And if you happen to live near Daytona, when tickets go on sale, you can actually skip the fees and buy them at their box office between 10 to 5. And you just buy them directly from there and they'll print the tickets for you. That's a little insider tip.
This is nuts, man. This is really exciting. It's
trust
gonna be
me, dude, learning all this shit has been hell on my mind. I haven't been sleeping at all, but I think it'll be worth it.
It sounds like it. I'm curious to see what the stream numbers will be, just from like the data point that we would get from something like that. So I mean, I feel like we're running out of time, or we're out of time. But there's other stuff I wanted to ask you about. Still, plenty more questions about this event, but also, you know, DreamHack is coming around the corner in Austin, of all places, our hometown here. Anything you can tell us about that?
Looking forward to it. We have Street Fighter, DBZ, Tekken. It's a Street Fighter ranking event. Brawlhalla. We announced an official Brawlhalla series for this whole year across all the DreamHacks. There are over 320 entrants already. That's actually more than the World Finals last November. So that community is doing great. Smash is doing great. You know, so I'm looking forward to DreamHack Austin. It's the first American event I get to do. And just, yeah, come on out to Austin, guys. Just follow me on Twitter. I'll be posting a lot more promotion for that as well. And, yeah, I'll see you guys there too, man. We can talk some more about all this after all the really big announcements come out.
I was telling you, or I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you, but I have a baby on the way in June.
Congratulations.
And I hope that she comes after DreamHack so that I can make it stress-free. Steve,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Bring the kid, man. I'll get him a free ticket.
All right, we'll get a brand newborn child into DreamHack for her first ever esports convention, free of charge.
A name picked out yet?
Her name will be Camila.
Camila, beautiful name.
Camila,
congrats.
Thank you. And shout out to my wife too. She did half the work.
half.
Yeah, a little more than half. So, Steve,
I hope she doesn't watch this show.
I think she does. Steve, anything else you want to ask Alex before we let him go?
Just if he wants to cut a promo on anybody, you know, we're in the wrestling mood. So, if there's someone out there who needs a promo cut on them, now is the time.
There's nobody, man. I'm on top of my game right now. I don't need to call anybody out anymore. Those days are over.
You're not going to even put yourself over?
I do it enough, man. Come on. I'm trying to be humble this year, okay? I took a different approach. I've been meditating and shit. No, I'm joking. You'll see. You guys will see my real cockiness come out during the event and the weekend. So, you know, we'll just hold off. But no promos today.
Yo, are you going to wrestle at your own event?
Maybe.
You got in the ring, barely prompted, too many years ago.
We'll see. I'll just say, 2 years, every time I look back at when Kenny super kicked me and I was so out of shape, I'm like, man, that's got to change. So luckily, I'm like 30 pounds down from that day. But I've been just enjoying being a part of it. I like to always be a part of the experience myself so I can understand why people enjoy what they do. And it's gotten me this far so far.
Well, Alex, I want to thank you for coming on the show, but also thank you for always pushing the envelope and trying to put on a bigger, better event, and apparently not running out of ideas or enthusiasm or gumption to pull this shit off, because I think we all benefit. When you're busy, we benefit. So thank you for that.
I remember my early days of competing. Every time I won a local, I'd be like, guys, remember, when I win, the community wins. Because I used to take the money and buy the setups for the Xbox 360s and stuff back in Street Fighter 4 days, and that's how CEO got built. So I miss those competitive days, man, where I just had to compete and not be responsible for thousands of people. I could just have fun.
You can compete on best tournament.
You guys.
Yeah.
Are any of you coming to CEO? Do you need media passes?
I will not be able to make it for sure. I will not be able to make it. I think, did Donka say he was trying to make it? He's going to a Combo Breaker. We'll hit you up. Maybe I'm going to take that as an open invite and see if we can make it out there.
That's the promo I'm going to cut on, you sons of bitches, man. Everybody's forgetting about CEO. Combo Breaker, I'll be there as well. But just everyone's going to forget about it, man, because there's so many other events. And then the event's going to happen and go, son of a gun, why didn't I go to that event? And they're going to regret it. And then next year, I'm going to double the freaking prices on them and show them why how they missed out. So we'll be all right.
Anybody who didn't go this year has to pay twice next year.
You know, and back in the day, if somebody didn't go, like, I hate this guy. Like, now I'm like, you know what? Support the people that do show up. Don't worry about the other guys, because I know they won't talk about it on Twitter, support the event, but I know deep down they're crying because they couldn't be there.
I mean, I feel like you're
and
making a really...
Those tears give me joy.
If there are, like, if it's coming down to certain select events, they're the ones, man, I'm not going to miss that. You're definitely a contender, right? And it's getting pretty tight at the top between Evo, Combo Breaker, and CEO. Where do you rank yourself in those three?
No comment. I think if you have the means, go to all three, man, because I honestly, as a fan, so take me out of the ATO equation, like to have those three major events 1 month apart gives people, you know, plenty of time. If you had to choose, everyone's always going to go with Evo, but I see tweets all the time. People like our events and we're growing. And I just personally, I think there's room for all three or even more events to be huge across the board. We just need to reach out and make sure all these people don't sign into Twitter and start reading all the drama. And I think we'll do great.
All right, my man. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Good luck with everything you got. There's the face. God damn it.
You knew it was coming.
Thanks to Steve for sticking around and helping me with this interview. And we'll close out all doing the face.
Actually, no, I have one last hint for tomorrow. If you guys are watching the stream, I want to see the chat.
Yeah. I think Steve knows what that is.
I'm not saying anything, but I'm thinking it real loud.
Yep. All right, guys.
Chat's going crazy, man. The chat's going crazy over here. All right. Thank you for that, Alex. Guys. We appreciate it.
Deuces.
Good night, though.